April 11th, 2024, this morning's class is dedicated for the Refuah Shleima of Penina Bat Adina. She should have a speedy and swift recovery. Amen. I think we're in the Gemara in Masechet Bava Kama and Daf Kaf Daled Amud Aleph. And if you count from the bottom of the Amud, which we will in a moment, it's 18 lines up toward the end of the line where it says Iba'ayalehu, we'll go back to there. But before even doing that, let's go back a little bit more. If you recall, at the top of the Amud, the Gemara was referring to the machlok, the dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah. And in short, with regards to how to establish an animal as mu'ad, there's a fundamental machloket. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it needs to be 3 separate days the animal gored. According to Rabbi Meir, in contrast, even if it's 3 times in the same day. Rabbi Meir, at the very top of the Amud, cited or mentioned his kal vachomer. He said, this is logical, my approach. He says, if the Torah, when you're rihek negihotav, where the animal distanced one goring from the other, is considered to be a mu'ad, certainly when it's kirev negihotav, when those gorings are one after the other in the same day, it would stand to reason that all the more so, it would be considered a shor mu'ad. And so we discussed, Alan was very vocal at this point, we discussed and deliberated what that logic is and why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't directly respond logically, a counter-argument, and that sort of business. It is, in truth, this kal vachomer, ironically, has a lot more to do with halakha for me and you, in a certain sense, than oxen, which are goring. You see, in Shulchan Aruch, or in first Tur, in Siman Kof Yod Dalet, in Tur and Ora Hayim, Siman Kof Yod Dalet. So we're not in Hoshin Mishpat, the laws of monetary damage, but in Ora Hayim, in everyday engagement and involvement, this Gemara is cited. So if you look in the page in front of you, this is taken from Tur in Siman Kof Yod Dalet, and in the middle, in the block area, what we would imagine is like the Gemara, it's really the Tur, some 3 lines before the end where there's a tet at the beginning of the line. It says the following, and the background is as follows. The background is we're in the midst of talking over here about changing over the Hazkara during Yemot HaGeshamim, which means to say you go from saying what we would say Morit HaTal during the summer to saying Mashiv HaRoch Morit HaGeshim. Or by extension later on, you go from saying what we would say Barechenu to Barech Aleinu. And of course, if you forget to do so, there are different ramifications. If you forgot to be maskir geshamim, be mota geshamim, or in the opposite way, there could be, and there's machloket, but we have halachot with regards to this, is there a way of avoiding any doubt? In other words, if I know I didn't say it, so I have halachot about whether to be hozer or not, what if I want to avoid all doubt? I want to somehow set out so that I'm certain. What if I'm, I don't know, 3 months in, and I wasn't paying attention during my tefillah this morning. I didn't think, let's say, whether I said Mashivaroch or Barech Aleinu. What's the halakha in such a circumstance? So there is a Talmud Yerushalmi which says, once you're 30 days in, those are the words of the Talmud Yerushalmi, hazaka, we now can assume that you're saying it right. 30 days in is enough significance with regards to your mouth repeating the same type of mention that you're supposed to be saying, we can now assume that you're saying the right thing. Right here. Saif Tet in Tur, what's really in Shulchan Aruch. Veharav Rabbeinu Meir Mirotenberg. Maharam Mirotenberg was the rabbi of Rosh. So we're going back some almost 900 years. Hayaragil lomar bishmini aseret, when it was shmini aseret, of course, right after Sukkot, when we're beginning to say Mashiv Aruch Meidah Geshem, he would do the following. Birkat atagibor, he would say atagibor le'olam amunai, mechayim etimat arav lo'oshia. And then he would go straight into Mashiv Aruch Meidah Geshem, but he wouldn't just say it, everyone says it. He would say it, tish'im pe'amim, ad Mashiv Aruch Meidah Geshem. He would do it 90 times, on shmini aseret. If I remember correctly, I once saw that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach attest to the fact that when he was younger in Yerushalayim, in the Hakafot on Simchat Torah, they used to sing, Ata Gibor, and then go into Mashiv Aruch Meidah Geshem. Sing it, we wouldn't have enough patience 90 times. I mean, that would be, especially here, it would be all the Hakafot times 10. But, I mean, they would do it 90 times, and by so doing, says Maharami Rotenberg, Keneged, Shiloshim Yom Sheomer Oto Shalosh Pe'amim Bechol Yom. If Talmud Yerushalmi says it needs to be three a month, A month, the assumption is three times or so a day. Three times or so a day times 30 days or so in a month, you're up to 90. Just say it 90 times. Ve'achshav, im haya mesupak. And therefore, if you're certain that you didn't say mashiva roch mori dagesh, okay, you're in trouble. But I'm mesupak, I'm uncertain. I have hazaka now. En sarich lahazor. You don't need to go back. That was his claim. So again, all we have so far is Talmud Yerushalmi says you need a month. Says Maharam Rotenberg, let's be a little bit more clever. Instead of waiting a full 30 days, do it all within an hour. Do it all within a half an hour. Just 90 times do the same thing. Do you have evidence that 90 times works the same as a full month? Vera'ayato, two lines from the top here on page Taf Lamed Aleph, mi perekes ad haregel. His proof was from our Gemara. De amar gabe shor hamuad, rihek negihotav hayav, kirev negihotav lo kol sheken. He quoted the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, if you had distance in between each one of the gorings, the Torah considers it a shor muad. So if you did them all in quick succession in one day, kol shekin. Hachaname said Maharam Mi Rotenberg. So too over here, kevan de'ahar sheloshim yom imhu mesupak en tzarich lahazor. Since the halakha, as mentioned in Talmud Yerushalmi, is that after 30 days, you have hazaka, we can be certain, halakhically speaking, that you said the right thing. All the more so, 90 times in one day. That was the claim of Maharam Mi Rotenberg from our Gemara. Continues to it. The Harav Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz is from the Baalei HaTosafot. Rabbeinu Peretz is around the same time, perhaps, as Maharam Mi Rotenberg, maybe one generation afterwards. Katav, he wrote, La Hazina L'Rabbanan Kishishe De Sarfat De Avdei Hachir. First and foremost, I haven't seen Maharam Mi Rotenberg is in Germany. Rabbeinu Peretz is in France. He says I didn't see in the elderly rabbis and the wise ones from the earlier generation in France that they did this. This is a novelty. Hadash asum min haTorah. I don't know. She'en, I'll explain to you why I think they didn't do this and why this is inappropriate. She'en hanidon dome l'ra'aya, because the issue we're dealing with is not similar to the proof that you're bringing. Dehatam ta'ama mishum shuhzak ligach vimuhzak b'shalosh rechokot kol shekem b'shalosh kerobot. Because when it comes to shon mu'ad, the issue is we want to be mahazik, we want to determine that it's goring. If it gored over the course of 3 days, so we say kol shekem if it gored all in one day. Aval geshem, but rain, mashiva rochmeri, the geshem is different. Shenitkan b'tfila v'hadavar talui behergel leshono. The matter is dependent upon the normalcy, the regularity of your tongue, of your statement, la amrinan hache. We wouldn't say so. We have to return in a moment to what exactly he's disagreeing with, but he's somehow distinguishing. Maharam Mi Rotenberg, you made the claim to equate, to say the same as shor mu'ad, so to mashivara, not the same thing. Why not? One has to do with gorings, and the other one has to do with regularity of tongue. We'll come back to that in one moment. The Adoni Avi HaRosh Zal writes Tur in the name of his father, the great Rosh Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, Haya Notel Isfarat HaRav Rabbi Meir Mi Rotenberg. He went like his rabbi, Maharam Mi Rotenberg, that the halakha is, provided that you do 90 times, it's sufficient. In truth, this is Nifsak LaHalakha and Shulchan Aruch. The poskim discuss, maybe you should do it a little bit more, maybe it depends on different features and characters and issues, but in the scheme of things, Maharam Mi Rotenberg is Nifsak LaHalakha, again, based on our Gemara of all places. What's their mahlokit? What are they truly disagreeing about, Maharam Mi Rotenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz? Maharam Mi Rotenberg feels it's a great proof to bring a proof from our Gemara Bava Kama from goring oxen, and Rabbeinu Peretz says it's not the same thing. If you look for a moment back on the first side on Taf Lamed at the bottom, so underneath the text, you see on the left hand side it says Bet Yosef, and then if you follow it down to where the Tet underneath the text, right over here, where it would be, you know, the branched out of Tosafot in a regular Gemara. So he brings two approaches to this, and I want to just read together with you the second one. Four lines into Tet, and that's we're reading from Rabbi Yosef Karo. This is Shulchan Aruch, the later wrote Shulchan Aruch. He wrote his Bet Yosef. It says in the middle of the line, V'rabbeinu ha-gadol Mahari Abuhab. He often cites from Mahari Abuhab, Katab, She'ta'amo shel harav Rabbeinu Peretz mishum, de lo dame, de hatam, shehu leteva
ra, sheze hashor hu naghan, hine kshiyaaseh hanegiha bekarov, more shehut ba zo bekinyan. Ma she'en ken ilu haya oseh oto בהרחקה שיש לנו לומר בכל אחד מהם מקרהו, אבל כאן הדבר תלוי בהרגל הלשון, והלשון אינו מורגל כל כך כשיעשה דבר אחד בקירוב. The suggestion of Mahari Abu Hab is that you can't compare that to this, shor to Mashiv Aruch Medageshim, because when it comes to, and this comes to our conversation from yesterday, when it comes to the shor, we're not looking to see truly how many times it gored. That's just a sign of something. What do I mean by that? And the lashon that the Aharonim use in this context, it's well known in the yeshivot from Rab Shimon Shkop of this approach. It's found in Kihilot Yaakov, Stipler Gaon as well. The suggestion is that the meaning of these words go as follows. You see, when we see an animal, and we have testimony about an animal goring three times, what are we testifying about? Was this a mechanical action? Gotcha, three times, now you're obligated? Or is it getting to what the animal truly is? Now, the suggestion is that you're defining the animal, not defining it based on the actions show the type of animal that it is probably the better way to say. In other words, in the halakha terminology, in the yeshiva terminology, you call this a siman. I need three times to show the nature of that animal. So the nature of the animal, if on day one, and on day three, and on day six, it gored, and then it did it on one day, it's just as good. It's a better proof. If day one, and then it rested on day three, and then on day six, and the Torah nonetheless says, Shor Mu'ad, one second, the Torah is telling me, just three gorings is a sign. Even if it's spaced out, this is a rotten-minded animal. Certainly, if it did it three times in one day, I know the counterclaim. The counterclaim is it's in a bad mood. But okay, we're not taking that into account. But it means that it's a siman when it comes to Mashiv Aruch Merit HaGesh. What's that? I suppose so. Judah will say, if an animal gets into bad moods, it's a siman that it's mu'ad. It's dangerous.
The kids thought that, I remember, but the nail in the elephant's foot.
Is that Hort? I don't know. The only elephant I know from kids' books is Horton. Yeah. Okay, that's different. That's different. That was an extenuating circumstance. But maybe afal pichen. Maybe afal pichen. The claim of Judah is the claim of Judah. Yeah, that's right. The claim of Judah is afal pichen. An animal that reacts under those circumstances. Okay, I hear you. It needs to be fully developed. It needs to be developed further. But fundamentally, what they're disagreeing about the claim is why Shor Mu'ad, ironically, is considered Shor Mu'ad. Everybody agrees to the facts on the ground. Everybody agrees there needs to be three times. Everybody on this page, Maharam Mirotenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz, even agree that we're, for this argument, not going to distinguish between three separate days or three times, so together we're going to accept that Kal Vachomer. The question is what that tells me about Shor Mu'ad. On the one hand, the claim of Rabbeinu Peretz in responding to Maharami Rotenberg is that shows that the animal has a bad mind. Maybe even shows us when it's in a bad mood or is injured, it's in a bad mind. That's a dangerous animal, needs to be removed. That's a completely different reality than when I'm talking about prayer. There's no such thing as having a good mind for saying Mashiv Aruch Medageshem. Mashiv Aruch Medageshem is Hergel Lashon. Hergel Lashon means I've trained myself to do this. I need to show a regularity through action. Say it again? Interesting. No, Hergel Lashon is not Talui and Kavanah person. You need to speak to psychologists about that. And what I'm saying is, your tongue, the fact that over the course of maybe 30 days I did this, it's not that I showed, not that I proved, oh, I'm a good prayer and I have the Kavanah, I know how to do it. No. I have, through the rote performance, trained myself. That's different. That's what we call siba. In the halakha world, in the yeshiva world, you talk about things being either a siman or a siba. In other words, everyone agrees you need three times. Is the three times because the three times establishes it, or the three times shows you what it is? That's a major difference in terms of applying it to this halakha. If it's that the three times establishes it, so I say like Maharami Rotenberg, 90 times establishes it. If alternatively, it's not about establishing it, it's that the three times reveal to us the type of animal it is, you can't pull that off with Mahram Yidot Tumah. What's that? It's a training. That's the other way to go. So those are the two questions. Is this proving that your animal, even in a day, has trained itself, so to speak, through action? Or no, you're just proving that the brain of the animal is deranged. So that is this Maharam Mirotenberg. It's very relevant to that conversation of the Bimeir, why the Bihuda is not responding to him and so forth, more than anything. What's that? Leniently. Yes, it's in Shulchan Aruch Kof Yodal Tzayif Tet. Say it 90 times, sing it on some. Give us longer hakafot. We'll say, Alanhurst, forget about it. 90 times, and you're then okay. I don't know. You can definitely do it biyachid. I don't know that anyone actually does this, but it's nifsak lahalacha. Chaim Vadya Yosef writes in his books as well. It's in Shulchan Aruch. Again, there are different specifics. Maybe quite the opposite, though. Maybe if you could have had the opposite angle. Listen, it's in Shulchan Aruch, so you're right. But you could have had the opposite angle. It's a safek about whether we accept this, and I'm safek whether I said it, and now you're going to... Anyway, all right. Regardless, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara... Now, if I'm safek whether I said it or not, eno chozer. And so Nathan's saying that's a good thing. You're avoiding beracha levatala. You're accepting that opinion in Shulchan Aruch, and you're going with it, not lechatechila. You don't want to be in that position. You want to have the kavana. I didn't have the kavana. I don't remember if I said it or not. Instead of going back with a safek, whether I need a prayer or not, safek, quote unquote, beracha levatala, I now have this to lean on.
What's
it? Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Said the Gemara yesterday, I think it's 18 lines from the bottom, Daf Kaf Daled Amud Alef, we had this Safek, which we began to deal with, and let's get into the proof for it. Iba'aya lehu shelosha yamim dekatane liya'udeh Torah, o liya'udeh Gavra. So the question was, when we talk about three times, to establish Mu'ad, is the purpose in terms of, quote, establishing it for the owner, or for the animal? What's the difference? The owner and the animal are... indivisible. It's the same thing. Says the Gemara, "Lemay nafkamina." What do you mean, as a practical difference to this theoretical, abstract question of the following? De'atu tilata kite sahade b'had yoma. If three sets of witnesses come in a single day, so they come on. Let's, for argument's sake, go with Rabbi Yehuda. Even on day three, they all come at once, testifying one after the next, and in turn stating, when you piece them all together, this is a shor mu'ad. Is that actually a shor mu'ad or not? On the one hand, it established regularity with regards to the animal. On the other hand, with regards to the owner says, I would have removed my animal from the streets. I would have gotten my animal put into better chains. You can't pull this on me. So that's the question. When we talk about these three times as establishing mu'ad, dangerous to the extent that negligent, and therefore have to pay, it's just about establishing it in the animal, or do you need that in the person? If they all come on one day, if the purpose of mu'ad, of this testimony and establishing it as what's called mu'ad is for the animal, then it's mu'ad. If it's to establish the owner as mu'ad, in other words, negligent, not capable of reading the writing on the wall, listening to what's being told to him. La miyayet, he'll say, what do you mean? I can't. Memar amar, hashtahu tikam masahadubi. It's only now that they're testifying against me. I'm right now going to do the best that I can, but I didn't know about this. But you don't understand, 3-4 times, it doesn't matter. I didn't know about it. That's the question of the Gemara, and the Gemara now launches into a potential re'ayah proof for this. Our issue for the moment, the answer is yes. But for the moment, all we're paying attention to is the 100% payment.
Can we split it under this scenario by saying if you go three times, we got the one. One, if you only knew, then you should respond to the money. If you didn't know, then kill the animal three times, regardless.
Because it's a dangerous animal. Maybe it's only a dangerous animal because the owner didn't know. No, he's trying to distinguish, saying get rid of the animal, even if I'm not going to obligate the owner.
Yeah.
No, the question is, the question of the Gemara is the entirety of establishing it as mu'at. Jeff is saying, even if it's with regards to the owner, so we'll say you don't have to pay 100%, let's get rid of the animal. The animal's a dangerous animal. I think the counterclaim, although he doesn't love it, is that the animal's only dangerous because it's not in the zoo. I would have put it in the zoo. It's not per se dangerous. It's a dangerous animal because I haven't been chaining it. If I just chain it, give me a chance, it won't be dangerous. You're going to punish it for my inability to know. I only found out now. All right, anyway, it says the Gemara 9.
On the
canon
payments?
No.
Why?
No, because... Yeah, but it's only mu'ad now. It wasn't mu'ad then.
It's only mu'ad now.
I don't know, do you want to say, it gored 6 times to time number 4 or 5? Okay, but for time number 1, 2, 3, no, the Torah explicitly says the first 2 times, machlok it. Rashi and Tosafot on that one, according to Rava, it's hatzin ezekeser.
The witnesses have paid in court each time?
What do you mean by that?
3 or 4 times?
Yes. Yeah, we're about to read that explicitly right now. They need to be in front of it. The pasuk says vehuad bi va'alav. They need to be with the owner and in court every single time. Says Gemara Tashema. Listen to the words, guy. Bo ushema. Listen and learn from the following. Eddie, here it is. En hashur na'asa mu'ad ad. An animal is only established as mu'ad if shiya'idu bo bifne be'alim. Number one, there needs to be testimony in front of the owners. So first of all, in terms of being in front of the owners, Rashi seems to have words in the Gemara which we don't have, which cite a pasuk, v'hu'ad biv'alav. The pasuk in the Torah says, and it's hu'ad biv'alav. Be'alav means the owner. So that seems to designate that you need the owners there. Who's, go ahead.
Why do you have to be in front of the din? If you were dealing with a human being, not an animal, witnesses come that you did something, you don't have to be.
Tosafot at the bottom of the Amud, probably struggling with something similar, the second to last Tosafot, Bifne Betin, says Tosafot, Zeu Misvara. This is logical. Dimi yekabel edut im lo Bifne Betin. We can't and won't assume, if you walk up to me with 2 witnesses in the Knis tomorrow, or right after this, Rabbi, we saw you, get out of my face, bring me to Betin, I don't even trust them over here. The suggestion of Tosafot is, this is a Sivara only with regards to acceptance from the owner of the Edim. So I think that answers your question. In other words, I won't, we assume, accept the witnesses brought against me unless they're brought in Beit Din. And so yeah, it is for me, but I won't accept them. What's that? All witnesses need to be in Beit Din when you're assuming that it's a full-fledged testimony. Who said this is a full-fledged testimony over here? Maybe this is, so to speak, a warning in which we're going to piece it all together afterwards. It sounds like there needs to be a full-fledged testimony in Beit Din. For what reason? The Torah never says that. V'hu'ad biv'alav. You could translate that as, and the owners were notified.
Is it that you're warning the owner, or you're testifying against the owner?
It's testifying, which counts as a warning, which counts as a, you better learn from this. It's not a full-fledged warning, as we pointed out yesterday. It's not a full-fledged warning, because if the purpose was more warning, then you'd need an extra time, because you didn't get a warning before time one.
Right, so how do you get that the prerequisite warning?
You don't, because it's not a full-fledged warning. It's more, we're notifying. We're making sure you understand. Your animal did this, and you should learn. You should learn as a result, based on this, what to do. They could. I mean, in the time of the Gemara, all farmers were Amei Haaretz. That would be a real Beit Din. If you have 3 Yodeim, they can assemble. For 3, you can assemble a Beit Din anywhere.
Yeah. If
the owner doesn't show up, then it doesn't count, but they would force him to. The same question applies any time. I guess you put him in jail, you beat him up once upon a time. Anyway, so again, says the Beraitam. Seems to me we're going to maybe arrive at the Ra'ayah today. Let's see. Tashema, en hashor na'asa mu'ad ad shi'a'idu bo bifne be'alimu bifne be'din. So that's the first halakha we see in this beraita. It's significant, but not for our issue. Because again, what's our issue? We want to know ha'ada'a for the be'alim or for the shor. When we have this testimony, is it establishing in the owner negligence or, so to speak, the danger of the animal? Okay, continues the beraita. He'idu bo bifne be'din v'shilo bifne be'alim.
Now the Beraita just fleshes out every case. What if they do it in Betin, but with Ari, no owner? Bifne Be'alim, v'shelo bifne Betin. In front of the owner, but not in front of Betin. Eno na'asa mu'ad, ad she'am idu bifne Betin u'bifne Be'alim. Okay, so the Beraita fleshes it out entirely, clearly, makes it absolutely clear to all of us. The only time it's considered mu'ad is three times with the owner in Betin. Fantastic. Next. And again, the issue is, why Beit Din, even though as Judah said, testimony always needs to be in Beit Din, who said you need true testimony over here, says Tosafot, yes, it's about the acceptance and knowledge of the owner, but that'll only be established in Beit Din, because we don't have a pasuk proving this. Next. He'iduhu shenayim barishona, ushnayim bashenia, ushnayim bashelishit. What about the following circumstance? It's not one set of witnesses who had their eyes on this animal over the course of 3 days. It's rather, one day it was two men, and the next day, two other men, and the next day, two other men. Okay, so all six of them, either together, we'll discuss in a moment, or whatever, separately, they come to Beit Din. So two testify about day one, and two others testify about day two, and two yet others testify about day three. What's the halacha? Hare kan shalosh eduyot, v'hen edut ahat lehazama. So let's just translate all these words. Again, even if we don't make it to the proof today, let's flesh out this whole beraita. What does it mean, hare kan shalosh eduyot? These are three testimonies. Pashut, of course. I mean, you told me two and two and two. What do you mean? These are three separate testimonies. Of course they are. So there are halachic ramifications with regards to the following. Once I take these all in, ultimately speaking, I'm now going to say this is a shor mu'ad. I may have said that I'll group all of these together and I'll say, yes, they're three separate segments to one testimony. It's all about this ox, and I have one case. My case is the Shor Mu'ad case. How many testimonies do you have? Three separate testimonies. But it's all in one case. Maybe they get all grouped together. Who cares? What's the difference? About a piece of paper? No, there's major ramifications. If you look for a moment at Rashi, for example, Rashi writes, you got to go up about 20 lines. Hare kan shalosh eduyot, writes Rashi, shim batela ahat mehen lo batelu hashetayim, umeshalem alehem hatzi nezek, vim lo batela haremu hu mu'ad. Rashi explains that you have a nafkamina in the following. What about I have three sets of witnesses, and then one of the set of witnesses, I don't know, is pasul. One of the set of witnesses is found to be lying. One of the set of witnesses, whatever, something goes wrong, we call that batel. Now, generally speaking, if six show up in court at once to testify about the same thing, this is a funny thing. This is, you know this from Makot, you don't know this from American law. Six people come to testify about one case. We say, gentlemen, we only need two of you. We all want to testify. Okay, faddalu. And they all testify about the same thing, and then we find one of them to be invalidated. The whole thing's thrown out. Eduche batla miksata, batela kula. That's the halakha. For what reason? That's the halakha. What do you mean? Five of us to tell the truth. You only needed two of us. Out. We don't trust any of you any longer. That's the halakha. Over here, the fact that we're saying it's two plus two plus two, and it doesn't equal six. Therefore, if batela ahat mehen, you still accept the other two, and they'll have to pay 50%.
Each two is testifying
about a different time. No. One about time one, two about time two, three about time three.
Three pairs.
That's correct. If one of them is not good, you're not getting 100% for the next goring, but you are getting for the first two gorings, or for whichever goring. Hatzi nezek as opposed to nothing. If another one comes, he'll now establish it as mu'ad. Tosafot, listen, does the same thing. They give a different nafkamina. There's no reason why you need to go there. Tosafot, the very bottom, the last one, says, Le'inyan, shalosh achin ve'had min hashuk mistaref imahem. Same idea, but a different application. What's is that their application? They go as follows. I have three sets of witnesses, and let's say in set one, none of them are invalidated. They're all wonderful witnesses. They all check out. Set one has me in it. Set two has my brother in it. And set three has my other brother in it. Are we all invalidated? If we're one group, we're invalidated. Mm-hmm. Or even if it's one and one, whatever it is. If we're three separate groups, we're three separate. We testify. So provided that we're not testifying at the same time together, we're okay. So either way you slice it, that's the statement here in the Beraita. The Beraita then says the following, one more time, back in the Beraita. He'iduhu shenayim barishona. Two witnesses testify about the first time. Ushenayim bashenia, two witnesses about the second time. Ushenayim bashelishit, and then two witnesses about the third time. Harekan shalosh eduyot. These are considered three separate testimonies we just discussed. Vehen. edut ahat lehazama. They are, however, with regards to hazama, one group. What's hazama? Hazama, if you learn to makot, if you learn Sanhedrin, you already remember these words. Pasuk in the Torah says, in the context of false witnesses, ve'asitim lo kasher zamam la'asot be'achiv. The rabbis, at great length, in the first chapter of Masechet Makot, explain this is what's called Eidim Zomimim. Lizamim means to conspire. It's conspiring witnesses. The rabbis prove and understand that that means not that they're found to be false witnesses based on evidence against them, but rather the people themselves are displaced. In other words, I testify that guy stole on December 3rd, and you testify about me. You were with me in Colorado on December 3rd. It couldn't be that you were there. I'm an Eid Zomimim. Under such circumstances, I don't just get lashes like I would for false testimony. I have to do that which I conspired to do to the person. I said that he stole $100,000. I have to pay $100,000 to that guy. That's halakha of Eidim Zomimim. Now, one more time, you found to be a false witness by displacing the person through a subsequent testimony. Now, the halakha is with regards to Eidim Zomimim then that we're going to have to pay that which we conspired to do. Listen to what happened over here. I have three sets of witnesses. We're going to initially just explain it like Rashi for today. We have three sets of witnesses. Group one, group two, group three. Together, these three groups make 100% liability on the person. Right? Now, what happens if one of these groups is found to be Eidim Zomimim, but the other two are standing strong as kosher witnesses? So one second. Does this group, which conspired to false testify, and they did so, pay 100% or half?
That's when they testify. I don't know. Rabbi know this for that.
Let's say it's the third group for simplicity right now. It's the third group. Other two are still standing. So says the Beraita. By the way, why am I pulling the wool over your eyes in more ways than one? Because three times. Wow, we're talking about three times. Three times, it should be the fourth. That's another additional difficulty which I can't get into right now. But this works, and Rashi points this out, according to his interpretation, if you remember, of Rava, the bottom of Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet. According to Rava, Rashi understood the two derashot in the Gemara, if you recall, as disputing whether you need four times, the fourth being, or on the third. That was Rava Shita. So Rashi, as a result, over here, makes this point that this works. He says, "Vehen edut ahat lahazama." Writes Rashi, "Shahare al yedei shloshtan hu muad helkach edut ahaten lekach sheim nimset kat rishona zomemet hu patur milashalem ala negiha." What's the next word? Shilishit elahatzi nezik. Why is he writing shilishit? That's Rashi. There's a little marking and it says it should say revi'it. It shouldn't say revi'it necessarily. Rashi is going with Rava. Okay, that's a separate technicality, but. And Tosafot, this long Tosafot weighs in on it, and then the Hemshech, you need the Tosafot on the other side. We'll try to clarify that all when we go back to it tomorrow. But for our purposes in the moment, it means the following. The Beraita tells us, Hen edut ahat lehazama, which means to say, they're all grouped together. And if you invalidated just part of them, and not the whole thing, if only two of them are found to be Eidim Zomimim, and not all of them, they only pay half. Why they only pay half? They say, well, we were found on this testimony to be false witnesses. That doesn't mean that the other two are not telling the truth. You can't on us now say that we as a six were conspiring to make 100% payment. We were conspiring our portion, their portion, their portion. If you can catch us all together, then we all pay 100%. If you catch just one group of us, if you catch just two groups of us, we'll pay 50% because we're all one group with regards to hazama. The halakha with regards to hazama is you need to catch the whole group in order to make them pay. What do you mean?
He's now conspiring to get 100%.
But it doesn't matter. But the third, why? Because I caught, for the moment, yes. For the moment, give it a second. We'll say it explicitly, but that'll hit on some of our critical points. Okay, so anyway, let's read the words over here. So again, were some six lines from the bottom. Therefore, explains the Beraita, nimset. Kat Rishona Zomemet, Kat means a group. If the first group of witnesses is found to be just them, Edim Zomemin, Harekan Shete Eduyot, You have two remaining testimonies, group number two and group number three. They stand, and for each one of those gorings, the owner needs to pay half. Hu patur, it means he's patur from paying 100%, he pays just half. Vehen peturin, and they are patur. What does it mean they're patur? They're patur from paying 100%, they pay half, the false witnesses. Good. Nimset?
Yes. Three times, right? If the first set is domain, stop.
Why?
Because you need three times. The first one
to make it mu'ad. I'm still going to make him pay half. He's still going to be a short time. Hazit, the guy who lost out.
Who's peturim?
Peturim just means from 100% liability.
The who?
The edim zomimin only have to pay half their peturim from paying whole. That's what that means. Hu patur means the owner is patur from paying whole. He just needs to pay half for the two gorans.
But if another set of witnesses show up, it could be the mu'ad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can now be combined with the third group. Kachini azomemet, nimset kachini azomemet. What if the second group as well, in addition to the first one, is found to be conspiring? Hare kan edutahat. It's still the same halakha. Hu patur vehen peturin. Right? It's still the same type of issue. In such a circumstance, you have one testimony left about his third quote-unquote goring, and on that goring he's going to pay half, not a whole, and they themselves won't have to pay whole, they'll just pay half, because you don't have hazama on the whole thing. What about if all three of them are found to be conspiring? Kulan hayavim. If the case is that group one, group two, and group three are all found to be edim zomimin, okay, kulan hayavim, we have to pay 100%. All of us were seen as one group, which Jeffrey already pointed out, a little bit difficult. Maybe it's only the last group. Who said the first two groups? Why you assume? We'll have to deal with that. And about that, we say this pasuk, which is the onesh, the punishment for edim zomimin. To summarize, without getting to the re'aya, to the punchline of the Gemara, what we saw in the latter part of this beraita then is the following, that with regards to hazama, if the first two groups are found to be Eidim Zomimin, the third group still stands, but you don't have 100% liability neither on the Eidim Zomimin nor on the owner. If all three of the groups are found to be conspiring witnesses, under such circumstances, they pay all three of them 100%. We'll return to this tomorrow to deal with. Well, sounds like it. We'll return to this tomorrow to deal with. So how's this proving anything in our context? Very much touching on that point. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.